You don't understand the strength of Lucifer. The Bible teaches that some of you have never fathomed the depths. You've never been caught in the depths of Satan. And the Bible said some have never known the depths of Satan. But it is a deep, dark ravine. And you don't know the strength of temptation because you've never been caught in it yet. But you're going to go through it. The Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. So you're going to come to it. It's going to be a horrible situation. And for you that miss the translation, it's just going to be unreal. There's going to be such a terror until you would have given the limbs of your body to let them be cut off to escape it. But nevertheless, if you won't listen, then there's not anything I or anyone else can do to help you. So the Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And the Bible said, take heed how that you hear, that you don't get all mixed up and all crossed up in your mind as to what's being said or what God intends as to what the minister is saying to you. How many of you understand that we are our brother's keeper? Or somebody said, well, I can make it by myself. Yeah, I just wonder what would happen if you didn't have a mechanic to fix those brakes and you started down the freeway. I'd like to see you make it by yourself. Everything, whatever it might be in life, you need somebody. You need the mechanic. You need the electrician. Like my Gracie was fussing yesterday with her mother. They turned her lights off while she was gone or something, and she had to go right away and get them turned back on. And the old saying is, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry, and you don't miss the lights until they're not there. And when she realized she was without lights in the darkness, then she had to go get them turned on. And another thing, I said that to say this, a lot of times our lights might not be turned out down here, but they're turned out in heaven. And you don't have any light, you don't have any understanding. In your mind, there is no God light, which means no God understanding. And you're walking around in the darkness, and you don't know where you're going. For the Bible said, they that walk in the night, they stumble. And without a light, you don't know where you're going. And many of you don't have a light. Your light has been turned out in heaven because you've not paid your bill. But there's one thing about it. If we can pay our bill, then we can have light. And you can pay your bill by having faith in His finished works. And the only way you can have faith in His finished works is to do the very best that you can with your own skill and ability in giving your life to God. And then when you do your very best, then God will make up for your shortage and faith will pay your bill. Let's give the Lord another hand. I want to read from Peter, the first epistle of Peter, and talk with you just a little bit. Chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All right? Let's look at that now. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are elect by foreknowledge. That is, we've been elected to grace. The Bible said, and God hath given us these things in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, even while we were yet in our sins, and even before we were ever born into the world. Many of us, He gave us this wonderful gift of God. That is, all of us. And He says it was through sanctification. And the sanctification, that is to the sanctifying of our body or of our spirit, it was by His Spirit that He sanctified us. He gave it to us through His foreknowledge before the world ever was. And He sanctified us by His Spirit. And the sanctification was unto obedience, which was not your obedience, but the obedience of Jesus Christ. But He gave it to us through foreknowledge before you was ever born and could obey. So he gave us the sanctification through the Spirit, which is Christ's Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you. Peace be multiplied. So then the Bible said the faith of Jesus Christ by which we are sanctified. The faith of Jesus Christ by which we are sanctified. So then it was by his works of obedience. It was by his Spirit. And it was by the sprinkling of his blood that we became elect before we was ever born into the world. Even the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. In the mind of God, and the Bible said, having given us this in Christ before the world ever was, then at Calvary, it was made manifest or brought to light. The veil was rent in twain, and it was brought to light. And it was at Calvary that we received the benefit as to the security. Before Calvary, even those that were born into the world did not receive the benefit of it. For the Bible said, these being under the law, dying under the law, not coming to Calvary, but being under the law, that they could not be made perfect without us. That is, they could not receive this sanctification. They could not receive this act of foreknowledge or this act of obedience, because the act of obedience had not yet been made manifest until Calvary. And then when it was made manifest at Calvary, Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison that died in the sufferings of the days of Noah and the sufferings on down, and then brought these forth and made them perfect, even as we are perfect, by bringing his Spirit into their hearts. So we sing that song, "Into Our Hearts, Jesus, Come Into Our Hearts." So when he comes into our hearts by the Spirit, then all of a sudden we are made perfect. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He hath begotten us again in that we were his to begin with through Adam, lost, and he went to redeem us. He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Which again I say that we could not have this hope until that is made manifest in our mortal beings, until the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was at Calvary. It says, "To an inheritance incorruptible." The body is corruptible. All of the things of the world are corruptible. They decay. But we have received an inheritance that is not corruptible. We have received a new body, and we've received a new world, and we've inherited an eternal inheritance as to a world that is incorruptible. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. It has never been defiled, in that Satan has never touched it. Satan has never seen it. Satan has never been a part of it. So it is undefiled, and that fadeth not away. The world fadeth away. For the Bible said it is like a vapor that appeareth for a while, and then it vanisheth or fadeth away. This one will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if needs be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. Right now the church is going through one temptation right after another, through the heaviness and the weight of the things of this world. And you are at this time or season under the manifold temptation of these things. But nevertheless, while you're under these things, you still have this wonderful power of God to your benefit as faith unto salvation that will be revealed in the last time in your behalf. It said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That is, he's saying that I've kept you by the power of God unto salvation, and yet I have subjected the creature to vanity that they might be tempted and tried, so that they can build their faith, so that they can build faith in God. A lot of you never try to use your faith. I don't know how you get by without trying to use your faith. It's no wonder some of you have the problems that you have. You know, we just kind of drift along half-hearted, and we know we don't try to pray, we don't try to fast, we don't try to do nothing for the poor or the needy, we don't really try to keep up our offices or our job or our duty to God, and because of this, we really don't have any inspiration to believe. We just feel like, well, you know, we just got to dig it out with our hands, we got to make it, we got to get by, only to find out it's just going to be a problem all of your life. That's all it's going to be. It's a problem all of your life. You're going to hope and you're going to look forward to great and mighty riches and great and mighty benefits and great and mighty things, to find out that they'll come up before you and vanish away into nothing because you trusted in the arm of flesh and you went down to Egypt for your help. So then that means when you turn to educational system, you're going back to Egypt, because from the hieroglyphics of Egypt is where civilization and education came from. And when you lean on the arm of flesh as to trust your own ability and skill, or trust in somebody else that's going to pay you a salary or keep you a job or do something for you, then you fail again, because as I just said concerning my brother-in-law, all of a sudden the whole world for him caves in. All of his life is gone. And when he was so sure, I can remember from the first days that he started that, I remember the first job he took to start that, and really thought everything was well with him. See, and I thought at that time, I'll just take Jesus. I remember it so well, years ago. I thought, you take that, and I'll take Jesus. And I could say some more about some more people that took, they took courses in life as to be celebrities and as to be outstanding men in the upper echelon of life, only to find out that it all blowed up in their face at the end. But mine's been blessed, and we're continuing on. All right, so then we find here that God is telling us that with this, that the glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ, said, whom having not seen ye love, that is, you love the invisible God, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you don't see him, but you still believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How could that be? By faith. By faith. See, if you see something, you can't have faith in it. But if you don't see it, then you can have hope toward it. So it's by faith that you believe what he said. Faith by the word. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's works, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, far as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, of the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye might may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believes, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which is built, which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. All right. That's reading quite a bit here, but I'm trying to get you to see that these things are of God, and that God is wanting you to move into holiness. You have to obey. You are saved by his obedience, but you have to obey as much as you understand to stimulate your faith in God. Let's read this a little bit here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, this is Peter talking to you, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may be by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if ye, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. All right, so it says here, he tells us right here that we are dead to sin. We are dead to sin. I say this so often to strengthen your faith, because we forget so easily. The Bible said we are like a man that looks into the mirror. We see ourselves, and then we go our way and we straightway forget what manner of person we are. But see, when we look into the mirrors of God and we're seeking the perfect laws of liberty, we're looking into the mirror to see what kind of person we are. And then when we see ourselves undone before God, knowing that we are undone, then we look into the mirror, we say, we're undone. Oh God, help us. And then we start searching diligently and looking for something to cause us to look better in his sight. You know, like a woman or a man, they'll get before the mirror, they'll comb their hair, they'll admire their face, they'll do all kinds of things. with their new clothing, you know, because they want to find out what makes them look the best. If the woman thinks hanging a curl down on her forehead will make her look more attractive, she'll do that, you know. If the man thinks he can go to the beauty parlor and kink his hair all up and make little curls, he'll do that. And whatever they can put on to make them look pretty or look nice, you know, then this is what they'll do. Because when they look into the mirror, they think, my, I could do this and I could look twice as good. See, and this is the way it should be with God. It doesn't matter what I've done for God or what you've done for God. You should look into the mirror. And if you see something that's lacking, you should say, wait now, I'm supposed to be perfect in the sight of God. And I'm looking into God's word, into the perfect law of liberty, and into the mirror of perfection. And I need to do something. I need to find out what I should do to make me look my very best for the King. I might could add a little bit over here and stop this gossiping, you know. And to add a little bit of understanding over here to say something about God, like a brother told me yesterday, called me over the telephone. And he said, Brother Pike, I've come to realize that I've said a lot of things I shouldn't say. He said, there's many things that I say, I've got no business saying those things. And said, I'm going to start saying things that will help build up a person and help a person to come to the understanding of God and do something for God. So I realize all of this other is foolishness. This wasn't general, the things that he told me. So then what we should do is take God and his word, and if God's word says something, come together with that word and with God and reason with God. And the Bible said, come let us reason together, reason with God, and find out God's desire for our life. See, there's a lot of things that you could do, a lot of things that I could do. If there isn't things that we could do, why does the Bible say go on to be perfect, go on to perfection? Why is it the Bible said lay not again the foundation of repentance of dead works and dead faith toward God? Why is it that God tells us this? See, let us go on to perfection. Why does the Bible tell us to seek for a full reward if there isn't something else that we can do? And why is it the Bible tells us one place when they delivered Jesus to Pilate, he said, they that delivered me unto Pilate, they have the greater sin. Why is it that we understand by the Bible there's a greater sin? Or why is it that we understand there's a greater place in God? Not having known the depths of Satan, you can get into a place to where there's a greater sin and you'll have a greater punishment, not only in this life, but in the world to come. So then, we see that we are those that are dead to sin. We are dead to sin, and by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can look into the mirror of God and we can keep doing things just to make ourselves perfect in His sight. So a young woman, when she's going to marry a man, she's waiting for the groom, she wants herself to look just perfect for him. You know, she wants to be attractive. And this is the way that we should do. We are waiting for the coming of the groom. Jesus is coming. He promised that he would come. And we should be waiting. We should be doing everything we can to be spotless. The Bible said he's coming back after a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Folks, when you stop and think, a lot of you don't fit that. Did you know that? There's a lot of you that have all kinds of spots, all kinds of blemishes. It's not possible for you to be the bride of Christ. You don't have a chance to be the bride of Christ in the condition you're in. Unless you make a change. Because you're filled with spots and blemishes. It's a spot over here after watching a little something on TV that you don't have any business watching. It's another little spot over here in reading the newspaper to find out what the score is as with the Bulldogs or with some frolic as to sports of the world. It's some little spot or blemish over here that you've just got to lay things of God aside to make a little more money and have a little better business. And you've got to lay things aside just to frolic a little bit or go places you ought not to go or be with people that you ought not to be with. A little fox, the Bible said, and it spoils the vine because our vine has tender grapes. And so then we find ourselves not doing what we ought to do. I say this a lot of times, a little thing about the witch and Snow White and how that the little story tells us even as a child when we read these little things, God hiding within these things something to spur us on in the right direction. And how that the old witch is compared to the world. It's beautiful. They paint their face up. They look like a lizard. They paint their eyes green. And they paint their faces like an Indian. They paint up. And they put on all kinds of things. And they stand before the mirrors of life. And the mirrors of life answers back. When they say, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Well, it's obvious that the world is out front. And the world has got the pattern to paint. And the world has their hairdressers and designers and all kind of things to make them just so-so. Not just for women, but men too. And the Hollywood stars go through this with their pancake makeup and every wrinkle is covered. You know, and naturally it answers back. You're the fairest of them all. You know, because it's a world, a corruptible world, a world of vanity. And it appears that way. As to being the fairest of all. Those with money. Those with new cars. Those with new frocks. Those with the pattern of the paint. Those that do all those kind of things. See, they're out front. They have every kind of medical care. For the teeth. For the body. Whatever. They're right there. They're right up front. All kind of exercises for the body. But see, as in the little story, there came a day. And all of that was over. And the old hag began to show for what she was. And there's coming a day when the world is going to begin to show for what she really is. You know, you can powder and paint and you can pack makeup on and do whatever. But as the years go by, death is going to catch you. There's not a one sitting here listening to me or anyone that's listening to my voice that's not sitting here, whether home or abroad. But what someday death, the evil thing death is going to catch you. Old age is going to move right on until it leads you to death. And all that you do is not going to keep you agile to where you can move around. All that you can do is not going to keep you pretty and handsome. All that you can do isn't going to help you because you're heading for death. It's going to catch you. You're going to be depleted in every way. And then the mirror on the wall as to those that are out in the world or those that are following vanity, it's going to answer back Snow White. It is going to answer back as to the world. The Bible said, though your sins be as scarlet, the blood of Jesus shall wash you as white as snow. It's going to answer back, Snow White, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the voice is going to answer, God's lovely bride. That's the fairest of them all. They go through the travail, they go through problems, they go through heartaches. They don't have all the patterns and paints of life. But they are the fairest of them all. And the Bible said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they're going to be changed from this corruptible world into the incorruptible world and receive the incorruptible inheritance and going to outshine the brightness of the noonday as to an eternal body, as to an eternal appearance, as to eternal youth, as to eternal strength, and all the glories that go with following Jesus. And the Bible said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. So there is a glory that belongs to you, even the glory of God, that will outshine the brightness of the noonday. Why then should you go after the corruptible things of the world, or why should I go after the corruptible things of the world when I have those eternal things? Why should I lean on the arm of flesh or go down to Egypt for my help when I have God and I have my faith in God to where I can look to God, and when I need something, I can call on God. I can call on God. He said, wherever you put your foot, Joshua, I'll give it to you. I'm putting my feet all over the world. I'm expecting to own it all. Somebody say hallelujah. The word of God can't be broken. He said, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. So then we're doing something for God in our little way. Now, if you do a little something for God, Brother Taylor does something for God, I do something for God, each one of us does something for God, and we might not have a whole lot of light as to our own individual way of life, But if I can take my light and put it with Brother Taylor's light, and he can take his light and put it with your light, and we can bring our lights together, then we can have a candle power that will lighten the world. The Bible said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works. If we can give a little help over here to the nursing home, and a little help over here to the boys' camp, and a little help up here to the prison, and a little help down yonder to those people that have received such devastation there in that area of Mexico or over in the foreign countries, as to give them clothes or to give them food or to share a dollar with somebody along the road that we pick up, whatever it might be, if we can do a little bit, our light will begin to shine. And the Bible said, men will see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you, folks, if you don't have any works, you don't have any light. You need not expect anybody to see your light if you don't have any works, because you don't have any light. It says, and they shall see your works, your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's Christ within you, the hope of glory, a radiance coming out from you to all the world. Tell me this, and I'm going to close. Why would anyone want to waste their life with the frivolous things of the world and the beggarly elements of the world? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to waste your life as nothing? All that you can do in the world is nothing. Nothing. You said, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. Give me Bible for it. The Bible said the flesh profiteth nothing. Let's give him another one. All that you do is absolutely nothing. All right. So you'd feel bad if somebody come around and said, good morning, Miss Nothing. Or Mr. Nothing. You'd feel bad, wouldn't you? You'd say, see here, I'm a celebrity. I'm a celebrity. I'm a president. I'm a king. I'm a ruler. I'm somebody. They'd say, good morning, Miss Nothing. Like Brother Branham said concerning Jezebel when he said, Miss Dog Meat. Well, anyway, there's one thing about it. We can be something in God. We are something in God. We are a God. One that is eternal and everlasting, with all power, riches, and glory, and magnificence. But without him, as the songwriter said, I can do nothing. Let's stand together and sing that little chorus. You love Jesus? I come here as your pastor from time to time just to exhort you a little bit and to tell you over and over about these wonderful things of God. You never know when God's going to call you home, folks. I know you can't get a hold of that. I know you can't, see, because you think, I'm young. I still got years. But I tell you, in the name of the Lord, there's been numbers of young people here died, killed, went out, when the older people are still living. Because the olders were living for God and the youngers did not live for God. And I'm telling you that you may make a change, but you may wait too late. Someone would say, well, when I'm older, Brother Pye, you don't have to be older. You may make a change as a young man or woman and still wait too late. Even as a young man, it may be too late. You might have known too much, heard too much, done too much, seen too much for God to be able to let you in. And as a young man or woman, be cut off like that. Die, lose your life, or whatever. I had a young man to call me yesterday. And I told him what I thought was wrong with him. Young, strong, healthy, strong person. Made plenty of money, done real well. But he checked up, and what I told him was wrong with him was wrong with him. And they found out, I believe, I may have this wrong, but I believe their blood was down to 40, was it? 40, does that sound right? What was it? 42. Which is way down below normal. You go into a coma, die like that. See, they had no idea. Oh, somebody said all they had to do was go to a doctor. They hadn't been to two or three doctors. Still didn't know nothing. But when I told them something, they checked it. They found out that was it. On the verge of dying. See, you say, well, the doctor's got the answer. I don't know. We prayed for a man here. He had problems. I told him, I said, if you'll believe with me, God will do something about it, and God will change the situation and heal it. He was having terrific problems. I said, well, you need to go to the doctor. He went to 20 different doctors. They didn't help him. They took their modern machinery, their modern ability, their skills, their medicines, even their laser beam. Didn't help him. But we prayed, and everything worked out, and the man's all right. Let's give God a hand. So I tell you again, it's up to God. It's up to God. What you need to do is listen to the minister when he's preaching the Word of God. Get the Word of God so you can understand the Word of God and believe the Word of God, because the Bible said in that day there will be no healing medicines. So there's no need to go to the doctor. See, God is changing you over so that you can go by faith. I don't care if you go to the doctor. God doesn't care if you go to the doctor. The Bible said the sick need a physician. Do all you can for yourself. But see, folks, we are children of God. We need to believe. We need to believe. We need to believe. God is wanting us to believe. He's wanting us to get a hold of faith. And he's wanting us to believe. That's what we need to do, is believe. See, I go overseas. How can I preach faith to them that are overseas if I don't believe myself? How can you go out and testify to them that are round about if you don't believe yourself? How can you do that? You've got to have faith. Jesus said, have faith in God. That's why as a minister, that's why as your pastor, I continually tell you to have faith in God. I'm your pastor. I come here, you're the chief of my pastor. I come here as your pastor. I try to take care of you. I try to feed you. When I go overseas, I'm not their pastor, I'm their evangelist. I'm their evangelist. So I preach to them an evangelistic message of repentance and against sin. I may go to somebody else and I may be to them a prophet. I prophesy things that's going to come to pass to them. Or I may go into another place to where Christ is not named as to people having any real foundation. To them they call me an apostle to lay a foundation as to where Christ is not named as to have any salvation. Then we go there, we preach to them. But whatever we do, whether we are a teacher, as to some, I just get them together and I teach them to them. I am a teacher. But one thing I am a Christian. I'm called to the ministry, to go into all the world, to all people, and whatever it might be, that's what I am to them. Paul said, I've made all things to all people that I might save some. You go to the hospital, might give you one kind of a thing. The doctor might say, well, you've got a problem. I'm the man. Then, if not, he'll send you to another. He said, you know, need to go to the eye specialist, or you need to go to someone else, or someone else, because they have all kind of remedies and all kind of things, all kind of doctors. But in Christ, he's the chief physician. He has all the answers. So all that we need is in him. I've been called all kind of things. I've been called an apostle. I've been called a teacher. I've been called a prophet. Somebody wrote a letter the other day from over in India. And they said, Brother Pike, we're so happy over the things that's been done in India since we've met your ministry. Our whole life has been changed. And now since you've taught us, he said, how to do it. That was the term, some similar terms of what he used, said, we are winning souls now. And they declared us to be a prophet. That don't make us a prophet, but they declare before the living God we're a prophet. Now, but that don't make us a prophet. But nevertheless, that's their concept of it. To them, I am a prophet. So, I said that to say this. He made the statement. He said, some of them here in India, in this area, they call me a George Pike follower, which he says I am, and I told him I was glad I was. He said, because some of the Brother Branham followers here, as to these people that believe in him, they have made a mess of his message. And so I'm glad to be able to do something for God. So it is a true fact that wherever we go, we are one thing to one, we are another thing to another. We also received a letter from Singapore from Brother Gann that we ministered for in Singapore. And he said, if we're coming into Singapore for a crusade, he wants to be part of it. He said, please send him books and tracts and whatever of the message. So then we're leaving imprints on the sands of time wherever we go because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. So we sing the song like it goes like this. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I would but fail. And without him, I would be drifting like a ship without. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? And don't turn him away. Jesus, oh, Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Can you sing it with me now? For without him, you can do nothing. Without him, you would but fail. And without him, you would be drifting like a ship without any sail. Sing it with me. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? And don't turn him away. Jesus, sweet Jesus, for without him, how lost. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, without him, we can do nothing. For without him, but fail. For without him, we would be drifting like a ship without any sail. Sing it with me now. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, won't you hear him today? And don't turn him away. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him how lost I would be. Send us the rain, Lord, send us the rain, Lord, send us the latter rain. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the... Can you sing that with me? Oh, we want your rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. We want your rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. So
Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us that latter rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the latter rain. Oh, there's healing in your rain, Lord. Healing in your rain, Lord. Healing in your light. Can you sing that with me? Well, send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain, Lord. Send us your latter We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter. Oh, we want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in the latter rain. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. Salvation's in the rain, Lord. In the latter. Sing it with me now. Oh, we've got the rain, Lord. We've got the rain, Lord. We've got the latter rain. We've got the rain, Lord. We've got the rain, Lord. We've got, can you lift your hands and love the Lord? Oh, there's power in this rain, Lord. Power in this rain, Lord. Power in this latter rain. Oh, there's power in this rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. Oh, the glory's in the rain, Lord. That glory's in this rain, Lord. Glory in the latter rain. For oh, there's glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the rain, Lord. Your glory's in this latter rain. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the rain, Lord. God for this latter rain. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for this latter rain. Oh, we want the rain, Lord. And we want the rain, Lord. We want the latter rain. We want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Revelation is the rain, Lord. The revelation is the latter rain. Revelation is the rain, Lord. Revelation is the rain, Lord. Revelation is that latter rain. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for this latter rain. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the latter rain. Eternal life is in the rain, Lord. Eternal life is in the rain, Lord. Eternal life is in the latter rain. Eternal life is in the rain, Lord. Eternal life is in the rain. In the latter rain. Thank rain, Lord. Thank God for the latter rain. Somebody say hallelujah. By the rain, Lord. Thank God for your latter rain. Oh, we praise the rain, Lord. We praise you for the latter. Come on, folks. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the rain, Lord. Praise you for the latter rain. One more time. Oh, there's glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the latter rain. Oh, there's glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the latter. So thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for this rain, Lord. Thank God for this latter rain. Thank God for this rain, Lord. Thank God for the rain, Lord. Thank God for the latter. Can you give the Lord a hand? Somebody say, I love you, Jesus. Can you say hallelujah? Come on, say hallelujah if you love the Lord. Let's say it together. Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God. Can you say hallelujah? Praise God. I feel the blessings of the Lord. Don't you feel the blessings of the Lord? I want you to lift your hands up with me. And I want you to close your eyes. Truly, there is blessings in the rain. There's power in the rain. And God has sent to us this wonderful latter rain. While we're standing here together, thanking God for his blessings, I think I'll get Brother Jerry Lambert to come down here and close the service today. And while Jerry comes to pray with us, let's just ask the Lord. You know, ask the Lord, are we looking into the mirror of the perfect law of God's liberty? Remember, folks, this is a law of liberty. A perfect law of liberty. And you're looking into it. Don't be entangled again to the yoke, the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world. Don't let your mind again get entangled with those kind of thoughts. If you do, your mind will just go off into an entanglement and you'll just be a slave to tribute and you'll hate yourself at the end of the way. So don't do those things. Be a real man and a real woman and stand for God. Keep a vision. Be a leaning post for others. And make up your minds that you're going to be strengthening God and do something for God and be a light to people around the world. You can do it. Look forward to the meetings and the different things that we're doing, to coming together here. Get your mind in the things of God and be a great and a mighty person. For you are great and mighty in God. And look forward to our meetings, the Filipino meeting. Some of you ought to go over there and be with us. Look forward to it. Don't tell yourself you can't do that. Don't ever do that. Confessing defeat is not the right way. The Bible said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And just think what an inspiration you could be in singing or doing something over there or testifying. My, you could stir hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people. The meeting already by TV has gone out to 50 million people. Big banners across the road advertising this meeting. You could go there. My, what you could do. Laying up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, where moth doesn't corrupt. Remember, wherever your goods are, that's where your heart's going to be. Your mind's going to be on your treasures. And folks, these all are lying vanities. These all that are in the world are lying vanities. You don't want to lose your life for lying vanities. They're going to fade away. But there is an incorruptible inheritance that fadeth not away. So then think about these things. Keep your mind on those things. Look forward to the services. Invite somebody to come. Go out and invite somebody to come. The Bible said invite somebody to come. Go out into the highways and hedges to compel them to come in, that the house of the Lord might be filled up. Go out there and do something for God. And then you'll be happy. Then you'll encourage your conscience. Then you'll have faith. Then you'll have the desires of your heart. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes, and let's meditate in his laws now to examine ourselves, see if we're listening to the word and if we're in the faith of God.